Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 85 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. I can't quite get my head around the fact that we're on episode 85 of the main podcast, but here we are. Hello, Anton.
Hello, Mike, and hello, Alistair. How are you?
I am here. And crucially, I can speak, which I couldn't do last week because I've got a wisdom tooth out and it was a bit sore. But it's gone and it's doing all its healing-y type stuff and I can chat. You can understand me instead of me going like I was doing last week.
It's a shame. We should have timed the podcast like half an hour after your surgery and just had the loopy Alistair's response to all of the week's news. That would have been what needed.
Everybody was so disappointed. My other half was under strict instructions to record me, taking like videos of me just after surgery with just all the loopy gas or whatever it was in me. But you know what? I was really boring. They gave me a sedative, which admittedly I don't remember much. But yeah, I came out, I was just straight-laced, boring as anything, just a little bit sore and a bit tired. I was so disappointed. I was looking forward to watching the video of me being ultra weird.
Charlie bit my finger. That kind of thing.
Oh, dear. I'm disappointed. As somebody who doesn't drink or drugs or whatever, I was like, getting my wisdom teeth was my one chance, and now it's not so safe anymore.
Sorry, buddy. Well, certainly not. If you go to my dentist, he doesn't give you the stuff that makes you go crazy.
Oh, not the Ozzy Osbourne standard. Cut that off.
I mean, that's the only reason I'd be going. That is, of course, not true. I'd go for a sore tooth, which I'm sure will happen at some point. I hate to think about that, but that's what happened. Hey, listen, we've had a busy week again. We've had a couple of more five-star reviews on our Apple Podcasts review place, which is the place to leave us reviews. So thank you so much to the two further people who have left extra reviews for us. I think we're up to 65 5 stars on there, which is just fantastic. We really appreciate that. There's not written reviews as far as I can see, but they've left the 5 stars, so that's really, really good. So thank you so much for that. And as well as that, we had Leona on the show last week. We've got Leona's Indie Corner a little bit later on, which we'll be talking about the game in the second half of the show on the podcast today. But before we get into all of that, let's start by what you've been playing. Al, I'm going to start with you because it's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke. What, if anything, in amongst your sore teeth, have you been playing?
Not as much as I was expecting, to be honest. I thought I was going to be sort of laid out for donkeys and donkeys playing tons of games. But as it turned out, I actually kind of got on with life. So I played a little bit more Mario Kart, because I always play Mario Kart. And I played a lot more LEGO Marvel Super Heroes. I'm up to something like 71% complete. So I've still got a fair bit of random things to run around and find. But I'm getting there. How about you guys? What have you been up to, Anton?
Nothing too much. I delved in and gave Super Mario 35 a go, which I think was a fairly fun experience, if not quite as good as Tetris 99, which, to be honest, kind of was expecting that. And that's been the main one. I was kind of expecting for this period of time to be really hooked on the All-Stars collection, but then once I have it, I'm like, oh, I've played this before. I don't need to do 400 hours in this right now. Yeah, it's brilliant. So it's just been Mario 35. Have any of you gave it a wee go?
Well, that was what I was going to talk about, because yes, I have, and I'm obsessed with it, and I completely disagree. I much prefer it to Tetris, and I just really, really enjoy it, and I love Tetris. Like, I've played Tetris 99, and I've got the Tetris, what's the other one, the Puyo Puyo Tetris games, I've got those two. But no, I just absolutely love it, and I think that there's so much more they could do with it. That's my only frustration, is that, and there's a bit of confusion with, you know, how you actually unlock stuff, things like that. But I actually just think it's just a really fun game. And I've even got my other half playing it, and she's been playing it, and we've been competing against each other to get higher on the scoreboards. I don't know why it's so appealing, but it's great. I'm just loving it.
What's the highest you've gotten?
Sorry. Before he does that, what do you do? Give me a walkthrough, because I remember seeing it at the launch, but just give me an overview of it.
So it's Super Mario Bros, and you have to survive the level. There's 35 people all competing at the same time. You can get power-ups and get Big Mario, and then you've got the one where he shoots the fireballs or whatever it is he shoots. Is it fireballs, Anton? I think
fireballs.
So if you get that, then obviously you survive for longer. But what happens while you're playing your level everyone else can decide, like in Tetris, you can decide whether you want to send the enemies that you kill to the person with the least time left, to the person with the most time or the most coins or whatever. And your enemies then go into their screen and you suddenly have all these extra enemies to also try and survive in Super Mario Bros. And you just keep going until you die. But the thing is, they're quick rounds. I mean, I think I've been in the top 10 every time after my first kind of half an hour or so, but I haven't won it yet, which is frustrating. I think third is my highest, it's great. I just find it super, super addictive, and I don't quite know why, because you're right, Anton, in that it isn't as fully fledged as Tetris. They haven't kind of put in the extra effort, and I think there is so much scope there to do more with it, which makes me wonder, with this limited edition thing, are they going to then say, right, cool, well, there's your limited edition. It's now £5 or £10, but you get these extra features that we've added on.
Hear me out. They just go and it's like, yep, Mario 35 had a good run introducing Mario 99. It's even more insane.
Maybe. I mean, I can see it, because it's got, you know, it's got so much potential to just run and run. I just really, really like it, and I've got a lot of positive things to say about it. But it is funny that you've played it and you've kind of gone, yeah, it's all right. But I get it. I'll probably be fed up with it in a week and I'll be like, move on to something else.
Not to say anything bad towards it. I did enjoy it and do think it's a good game. I think it just feels a smidge more, like the gameplay and the battle royale elements feel a little bit more disconnected than Tetris. But that might just be me dying incredibly early in the Mario portion before the battle royale element actually gets involved. I might just be awful at video games.
Look, the thing is, I never thought I was particularly good at that game, but I seem to be better at that than the actual game, to be perfectly honest. I've been playing that, and I also finished Paper Mario, finally got to the end. So that was good, and I've really enjoyed that, and I'm so glad that I'm at the end, because it did feel, that's the only criticism I'll give it, and this is because I'm speaking as somebody who doesn't have the time that I would have as a kid. It was quite long. I think it was like 40 hours or something to get through it, and that's a long time for me to play a game, unless I'm something like really invested in. But funny I say that, then Rocket League I've done like 200 hours, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But for that kind of game, it felt, for me, it was like 10 hours too long. But it was great. It was really, really great. And there was some of the moments right at the end were even better than some of the early moments. I thought the middle started to get a bit draggy, but it was like a good film. You know, the start was great. The middle was a bit like, no, I can keep going. And the end was really good. But yeah, overall, solid 8 out of 10. Really good game. Really enjoyed it. And I'm glad to finally finished it. Never want to see Origami again.
I look forward to Bob borrowing it from you, Mike.
Oh, come on. it's fine. I'm sure you can borrow it from me. I don't mind. I won't be playing it for a while. So that's it. So that's what I've been playing. But yeah, really enjoying Super Mario 35. It's Deadly Premonition, which I've been trying to finish as well, has been put on hold while I just play Super Mario 35, which is just bizarre. So
impressive stuff.
Wow, you're.
Truly, Anton,
the youthful gamer, Rocket League, Battle Royale. I'm feeling just old fashioned here.
I know.
Welcome to my world. It's great.
You need to get down with the kids and understand how to you know, do all these really cool 2K20 things that we do. Nobody says that. Anyway, let's move on to this week's news.
Tell us, the people want to know.
All right, we're going to start this week with something that we're all going to be really happy and interested about, and that is Jackbox Games. They've announced the Jackbox Party Pack 7. It's coming out on the 15th, so not that long to go. It's got Quiplash 3, The Devils and the Details, Champed Up, Talking Points and Blather Round. And I'm always up for more Jackbox. I'll come to you first, because we've played many games of Jackbox in the past. I haven't looked too much into this one, because I'm okay with what I've got at the moment Jackbox wise, but I do like the look of Quiplash 3. That looks quite fun.
You can't go wrong with Quiplash. To be fair, actually, I don't normally get excited about new Jackbox games, because I'm kind of like you. I've got two of them. I can't remember which numbers I've got, but I've got two, and that's generally enough for a party. I don't need any more. But this one kind of looks like, you know, normally in a Jackbox game, there's two really good games, and then the two or three other ones are a bit,
yeah, they're all right.
This one, actually, all of them look like they're quite good. And I'm kind of tempted, although I might wait for it to be in a sale, because at the moment it's still something like, I don't know, 26 or 7 quid. They're usually around about that kind of level.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's still decent value for a game like that, because it is something...
For the amount of entertainment you get out of them, it's good value.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, similarly, this one actually looks a lot more appealing than the other collections. So I find with some of them, it's like they have one, two really pick up and play ones, and then they have maybe a couple more complicated ones, which I find you need some simple stuff to start off with a chat box party. This one, like all of them look fairly just pick up and play, and the fact I could maybe upgrade my Quiplash, because Quiplash 1 and 2 are like chat box party pack like 1 and 3, I think, really early ones. They're starting to look a little bit worse by comparison of the newer titles, so being to get a nice polished up version of that game would be delightful. But yeah, £25, that's the tough one, eh?
It's a tough one, but I still maintain that it's the right price for it new, because you do get replayability, so I don't have a problem with it being that price. The only thing is, of course, you could potentially get it cheaper elsewhere, which I think is usually the case with the Switch. I'm not sure if that's the case at the moment, though, with this one. Does anyone know?
Yeah, it's on Steam. It's got the current usual 10% off on Steam. It's brand new, so it's like £21.41, apparently.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, definitely recommend any of the Jackbox games. They're all really great fun. Next up, Rain Games have announced Teslagrad 2. It's an exploration-based Metroidvania with magnetic physics. More of the same in a lot of ways to the first one, which launched on the Switch in 2017. It's very much about exploration, visual style, very sort of similar to the first one. And yeah, I mean, it looks good. The environments look nice. And if you're a fan of the series, you'll probably like this one, Anton.
Yeah, it's certainly very early days for this title. I don't think we'll be playing it for quite a bit. But, you know, it's great to see a really beloved Metroidvania. Like, this is still one that if you're wanting a physical copy, you're talking £35, £40 on some of the consoles. Really beloved. And it's kind of built up a reputation over time via digital. So it's great to kind of see them revisiting the franchise, and the concept art they've been showing for it really feels a lot more high concept and a lot prettier. Alistair, I'm kind of keen to see where this title goes.
Yeah, 3 years on, things have moved on a fair bit. 2017 was when the original one came out, so they've had time to think about what to do with this. Technology is obviously advanced. They now know how to use, well, all the platforms better. PlayStation, Xbox, and, of course, most importantly, Switch. All these things have advanced, and they have come up with some really cool concepts for this game. It's very Nordic, as you'd expect, because the last one was obviously very Nordic, and it's a Norwegian game developer that's behind it. And yeah, the concept art, as you say, does look really, really nice. Fascinating to see what they do with it.
Yeah, look out for that. It will be, well, we don't know when it's coming yet. It has been announced, though. And as you say, the first one, you can go and check that out already on the Switch. Next up, Blowfish Studios have announced Projection First Light. It's a platformer in which you control the light and the shadows you cast, create platforms. It's out now, and you follow the adventures of Greta, very much about puzzles and atmosphere again, mythological shadow puppet world, they call it. And yeah, it certainly looks interesting. Again, it's got that kind of indie style, Anton, that we've seen a few times. That kind of, what's that game? I'm trying to think. There's a game that it reminds me of, with the kind of black aesthetic, the dark aesthetic.
Oh, Limbo.
Limbo, that's the one.
Yeah, it looks really intriguing to play, but it is right what you say. It does have it's very clearly an indie, and it's kind of a shame, where I think the gameplay looks really ingenious and would be fun to play with, but it does, like, there's just some stuff in the kind of, where it's not bad looking, but just like, oh, I wish I had a smidge better animation and stuff like that. But I would be interested to play with these mechanics, Al.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about this. I think the gameplay mechanic in and of itself is quite interesting. Basically, move the sun around to create shadows, to create different platforms and ledges for your character to move around and interact in the world. That is kind of cool, and the whole thing's set as if it was basically shadow puppets, so the light is behind and everything's a silhouette. It looks beautiful, but I do kind of think, how much can they do with that particular little hook? Is it going to be a smidge repetitive? Because even just watching the trailer, by the end of the trailer, I was a bit bored. I don't know how you guys felt about that.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomised genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think it's got potential. It's pretty. It doesn't blow me away at the moment, but then I think my standards of what I expect from an indie now and what's going to grab me have sort of raised bars, been raised quite significantly over the last sort of 2 or 3 years. So having said that, I'm still going to keep an eye on it because I do think there is something about it that's quite charming and appealing, and if it was in a sale, I would certainly look at it. But yeah, at the moment, I'm like, it's not one I'm going to rush out and get, even though it is available. So that's my take on it.
And as per usual, it's something like £18 on the Switch, and it's like $12.79 on Steam. Oh,
yeah, this was looking like a fun £8 indie romp. That's quite a bit more than I thought it would be. All right.
Yeah, that's expensive what it is, I think. Next up, My Games and Allod's team have announced Skyforge. It's a free-to-play MMO. It's coming out this fall in a mixed fantasy and science fiction world. And yeah, we don't have quite enough of these MMOs, especially free-to-play, which is good. And it looks, for me, Anton, that it looks pretty good. And the cool thing is, because it's free, you don't need an online subscription to play, to enjoy online play, because they're not allowed to do that with the free-to-plays, like Rocket League is now. And there'll be exclusive in-game gift packs later on too. I'm not 100% sure whether or not, because I think this game has been out on PS4 and PC, and it's kind of maybe had its time there, but whether or not the Switch is the right place, it's probably worth a go.
Yeah, you know, it's a shame for games like this because they're such a time investment that it'll be, you know, be competing with the likes of Warframe and all that sort of stuff, where, you know, really high-end polished games, and I'm a little bit skeptical of this one will be able to compete. But that might just be, it's not really tickling any of the right bones for me, but I'm not quite the target demographic, so I don't know how I feel about this one.
Well, it's funny. Did you guys notice there's been an unintended link between the first three games that we've talked about tonight? Teslagrad, the original, came out in 2017. We first heard about Projection First Light in 2017. And Skyforge has been out on Steam and all these other consoles since 2017.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there you go. There's an unintended link. But yeah, I kind of agree with Anton. Skyforge, it's beginning to look a bit dated already, and we are only just getting it. But then again, it gets mixed reviews, to be honest. It's not going to blow anyone away, but if you are looking for a way to kill time and you've not got much money, why not give it a go? I mean, you're not going to lose anything.
Yeah, I think that's it. The fact it is free to play for everybody, it gives you that opportunity to have a go, and you might just find your niche. It might just be the thing that you like. Next up, this one is really interesting. And at first I was like, absolutely no way, but the reason I will probably buy this will become clear in a second. Diplodocus Games have released MacBat 64. It's an N64 style platformer. I did spot this when it came out just the other day, and I thought, wow, that is real N64. I mean, we've really slated games in the past for similar things, but this is very much deliberate. And it's, just imagine those N64 style games and you're there. Now, here's the bit that's going to make me buy it. It's $1.99.
Yeah.
That's not why I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it for an even better reason. It's got nothing to do with that. But if you go to about 40-ish seconds in the trailer, you can see the character transferred into a DeLorean and time travels. That's the only reason I'm going to buy this game.
Wow. Yeah.
It looks genuinely amazing, this game. I don't mean visually, because visually it looks crap, but deliberately so. But the game just looks so charming, and the characters are just so cute. And
oh, I've just seen it.
It just feels like a proper N64 game. It just looks like it. I want to go and play it. It's pulling me in, man.
I hope it plays well, Anton.
Yeah, you know, it's exact same thoughts as yourselves, where at first, watching the trailer, I was like, oh, another one of these. This looks awful. And then the longer you go through the trailer, it just feels like a full-fledged N64 game. Like, it doesn't feel like it was lazily done. There's a little bit teaser bit at the end of the trailer. It alludes that it's got more to come. It looks surprisingly expansive for a game that looks so awful. I'm impressed.
Would you care to place a bet on what year it was first released?
Oh. MacBat 64. Yeah. 2012. 2017. It's got to be 2017.
Okay, it is indeed 2017. And it's had really, really positive reviews since then. So it is definitely a game that I think we all need to go and check out.
Wow. I mean, at $1.99, let's face it, it's like half a Costa or Starbucks. It's kind of, you know, have a go.
It's a no-brainer.
So, you know, we've all three of us own 3D All-Stars. All three of us own Astro Bears, and all three of us will own MacBat 64.
Wow.
The trifecta.
Yeah, that's it. It's the holy trinity of games. Next up, No Gravity Games have released Power Tris, a simple but addicting puzzle game. I always know when it's an American developer or someone American has written it, because they always write addicting instead of addictive. Just a little thing, but always. My little brother grew up calling everything addicting, and I'm like, what are you talking about? It's addictive. But it was just, yeah, I guess the language he'd seen. Anyway, I digress, because Power Tris, it's just a few pounds, and yeah, it looks like a puzzler. It looks quite slick, I've got to say. I hope it plays as slickly as it looks. The idea is you place blocks, you got to pay attention to whether both sides of the system that you're playing, the puzzle system, are connected with the sockets on the edges of the screen. And you have to make quick decisions as well as use special blocks. The downside for Al and me is possibly the colours might be a bit of an issue. I mean, we might manage, but they do look a bit slightly confusing. But yeah, I think it looks okay, Anton, especially if it's only a few quid.
Yeah, it's, you know, as you can put it, it's classic, just, it's a puzzle game. You know, you get your new Atari Lynx or Game Gear, and it has some off-brand Tetris puzzle game that you've never heard of. This would fit right in, you know, if your lumens, your columns, where it's not quite Tetris, but it sure is a puzzle game. But I would be down to give it a wee go. You know, it's not too expensive, not too time demanding, and I don't see anything too alarmingly wrong with this one.
I'm inclined to agree, but I'm going to be the slightly dissenting voice in the group, simply going, why am I getting this on Switch? Why is this not on my iPhone? This feels like this should be a mobile game rather than a Switch game. Mm. I can't imagine me going out, like, I'm going to go sit on a train for 4 hours, what am I going to take with me? Oh, I'll play this game. I can't see that happening. Whereas if I was sitting in a waiting room somewhere, going, I've got 3 seconds, I'll play this, done, okay, I'm off, go. That's what this feels like to me.
Yeah.
But that's probably just, it's nothing against the game. I think it's more the way the games and gaming has evolved over time. I think that kind of game as a standalone thing, I don't know. And again, it is cheap as chips. It's, what, $4.50? Currently $3.60.
I do quite like having this kind of game to break up the bigger games. And it is quite nice just to sort of have them there on the Switch. What would be great on the Switch, if we could switch between games without having to restart the games. There's a feature where, you know, you could have two things running at once. So, you know, you could switch between your big epic Paper Mario, as it was for me, or whatever.
That would be great.
And then also jump into this and then straight back in. I know it doesn't take long to get going again, but I think that would be a real nice addition to the Switch. And I think you'd find that you would play these games more if that was the case, Anton.
Yeah, it's interesting where they've, on the new Xbox, they've got this new technology thing they're doing called Quick Resume. And the idea is, if you're playing a game, let's say Red Dead Redemption 2, you could pause out of that, and it just takes the entire 50, 60 gigs of it, and then they put it just into like a spare bit of storage, and then you could boot up another game. And you can have multiple instances running like that, and then you could, let's say, switch to Red Dead Grand Theft Auto in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So that's with like 60, 50 gigs, maybe even 100 gig games. They have 200 gigs reserved for just swapping between apps and caching them. With the size of some Switch games, it would be so much easier on this console. Maybe like one 30 gig game on let's say you have a nice SD card, one 30 gig game and like maybe a couple indies. That would be the dream right there.
That would be sweet. I like the idea of that.
Yeah.
And actually, I know what else Michael likes. It's like deviation, but you know you can get 50% off this game at the moment if you've got, well, one of a whole host of games that already exist.
Oh, I bet you I have those games. Guaranteed.
Would you let me read the list?
Well, give me a go for the first one. I'll tell you when I've got one.
All right, deep breath. Alder's Blood, Creepy Tale, Star Horizon, Strike Force Kitty, Nonogram's Prophecy, Make War, Ego Protocol, Remastered, Pirates, All Aboard! Exclamation mark. Deer Alone, X Order, Roar Off, Pool Pro, Gold, Kids, Colour Farming, Connection Haunted, Drag Racing Rivals. Any of them?
Possibly one. I actually don't have many.
If you do, you get 50% off.
So funny. But yes, good to know as well, because if you have got one of those games, then you can get a good discount on that. Next up, at least in the US, Nintendo will be selling Pokemon Sword Shield and Pokemon Sword Shield Expansion Pass on a single cart, launching on the 6th of November. Good news for Pokemon players that like to collect, Anton.
Yeah, you know, it's. I guess it's handy for some gamers that aren't quite at the DLC stage, but my God, what a long name, Al. Because that's the official title if you want to look for it. So,
seriously?
Yeah, the Pokemon wow. Sword and Shield, or, you know, obviously it'll just be one of them, depending on which one you're going for. So let's say Pokemon Sword plus Pokemon Sword Expansion Pass. What a beautiful title.
Catchy. It's very catchy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I suppose if you've not bought the game already, you may as well buy this version of it. But presumably a lot of people who've got the game by now have already got the game by now.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have thought so. But hey, you never know, because, I mean, they're selling double packs of Mario Kart and Mario Party. So who knows?
I'm sure there's all out for the holiday season. A lot of people have bought the Switch this year.
I think that's the cynical look on it, that it's probably very good timing in terms of the release and announcement. Next up, Torchlight 3 will no longer come to Nintendo Switch the same day as other versions. Not an awful lot to say to that, other than it's a bit of a trend. It's a shame we don't get more on the same day, but I think at the end of the day, you've probably already decided on what console you're going to go for. I think generally with games, I don't think there are many people that will change their decision. There will be some, but I think most people, I'll probably have already said, right, I'm going to get the Switch version of this, or I'm going to go for the PS4 or whatever.
Yeah, weirdly, actually, I had more of a reaction to this than you, and it was more of a surprise, because recently we've been getting almost all the games at the same time as everybody else, and I thought, why is this one different? Because it started off that we were always sort of the second place. We always got stuff long after everybody else did. But in the last, I'd say the last year, things have caught up to just about parity. Almost all games, with a few notable exceptions, have been launching at the same time. Mm. So, yeah, this was surprising and a bit disappointing.
Yeah, it's especially annoying when they announced it at, like, our Nintendo Direct. They chose to announce this game and they won't even give it to us the same day. But talking about games that we're not getting same day, just as of today, Electronic Arts announced that we're getting, officially, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered with the enhanced graphics, all the DLC, and that's coming on November 13th, 2 days after the normal one. They were so close.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you leave it 2 days afterwards?
Just to be special. Why? The Nintendo Switch wants its own day, Al, and it will have its own day, even if that is 2 days away from the other releases. Very strange, but yes. Good news, though, and another good solid title coming to Switch, which is great. Now we just need a release date for Plants vs. Zombies, please. Next up, team-based online shooter Rogue Company has gone free-to-play. I'm really pleased with this, because I've been waiting and waiting for Rogue Company to go free-to-play, and there's been no real sign of when we would know. And it's just happened. So that's a bit of good news. I didn't actually know that until we sat down and I looked through the notes for today's show. So I'm gonna get that downloaded. I've been too busy on Super Mario 35. But maybe it's one we should all go and get that and have a go together.
We say this all the time. We're so bad at actually doing it.
You know? Right, well, let's do it. It's free.
Yeah. In between you looking after a child and me trying to educate myself, and Anton being, well, a proper busy working person these days, when are we going to do that?
well,
just to find a time.
We'll do it. We'll play this week in spirit and report back how we found the game next week. Let's aim for that.
All right, I'll try and get that downloaded and have a go, because I think for a free to play, it looks pretty decent. So yeah,
it does look awesome.
Next up, Masahiro Sakurai has announced Minecraft's Steve, Alex, Zombie and Enderman are coming to Smash Bros. Ultimate. Apparently, this collaboration has been discussed for almost 5 years. It brings five stages to the game. Plains, Birch Forest, Savannah, Taiga, Snowy Tundra and Stone Shore. The pack required every stage to be recoded to allow building, which is quite a lot of extra work. Also, just to carry on with those, we can talk about all these together and get Anton's thoughts first, because he's the Minecrafter among us, I would say. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate are also getting another costume pack featuring Creeper from Minecraft, Pig from Minecraft, Diamond Armor from Minecraft, Gil from the Tower of Druaga, Bomberman from Bomberman. I like how that we had to clarify that he's from Bomberman. Also, Sakurai's unveiled a first look at the Banjo-Kazooie, Byleth and Terry board amiibos and dungeons, Microsoft Dungeons, Bill Gates stuck inside a dungeon, gets cross-play this November and gets a fourth DLC, Howling Peaks DLC. One more little bit of Minecraft news for you. Mojang? They've announced the Minecraft... Oh, yeah. Mojang, okay, sorry. I'll do the very basic version. Minecraft 1.1, like Bon Jour. Minecraft 1.17, the Caves and Cliffs update. They've reworked caves from the ground up, adding cave types and cave biomes and a deep dark zone. New snowy mountains featuring snow you sink into. That sounds fun. And goats. A new ore, which is copper.
And goats.
They're adding archaeology. They also added new mobs such as the Warden, the Glow Squid, Axolotus Goats coming 2021. I love how just every so often the word goats is just randomly in there.
They actually added axolotls to it. Seriously.
Yeah.
That's awesome. They're the cutest animals in the world.
You can have them as pets as well. And they'll fight like sea monsters for you. You'll find them in the new underwater caves. But yeah, there's a lot to go through here. One, the Smash announcement broke Twitter for the second time in its history. The only time Twitter's broken was when Michael Jackson died in 2009. Like,
wow,
really kind of surprising in that regard. But honestly, looks surprisingly refreshing, because as a character and a fighter in Smash, you have to like mine bits of the level to get resources to make new armor and equipment to make yourself stronger. So at the start of a Smash game, you're really weak and vulnerable, but you get really much stronger near the end of the game as you've maybe acquired items. So he plays unlike any other character, which is quite impressive. Sakurai was surprisingly salty in the event where basically, from the sounds of it, the Nintendo executives made the deal and it was already in motion before he even knew it was happening. So it seemed a little bit salty because he had to just rework every single level in the game to make it work. But impressive nonetheless. And as the resident Minecraft boy, I'll continue and just say this new update to Minecraft basically makes it a whole new game. Really impressive. Wow. You know, them redoing all the caves alone, you know, redoes the whole main part of Minecraft. It's going to be quite a substantial and exciting release, and it's something people have been asking for years. And yeah, amiibos are awesome.
Yeah, we had a lot of amiibo chat in the Discord group for our Patreons this week, and it's interesting because I love the idea of amiibos. I have nowhere to keep them at the moment, but I definitely would if I had, you know, a dedicated space for games at the moment. But really good announcements, it seems, Anton, and it seems like a lot of people will be very happy with all that news.
Yeah, you know, it's people seem to have been really losing their minds that Steve finally got into Minecraft, because it was a meme for a while, but you know, end of the day, it was the best-selling game of all time, and they've really put in a lot of effort to do it well, and it's great to have the likes of Bomberman as well as costumes, because that just seems like such a perfect fit to the game.
I love having Bomberman there. I'm actually more interested in the whole, and this is my own personal interest, but the whole business side of, hey, Minecraft is now in Smash. There's so much Nintendo and Microsoft crossovers. I mean, even basically like Banjo-Kazooie is in Smash, right?
Yeah.
I'm not making that up.
Yeah.
There's a whole load of characters just crossing over. And so far, it's only been limited really to this game. isn't it? I can't think of another instance where we've had much crossover. But I do wonder if it's going to come. If we do ever get a new Mario Kart, are we going to get a Mario Kart 9 with a whole lot of really awesome characters in it? I would love that so much.
Oh, that would be goals, because that's, yeah, I saw a tweet recently, and technically they have 6 Microsoft characters in Smash now, which is kind of insane and really makes it interesting to see what they could do in future. Obviously,
you also wonder, will it go the other way? Will you end up seeing Mario on the Xbox?
You technically have Mario and the whole Mushroom Kingdom boys in Minecraft. They have a Mario DLC for it, which obviously that's a full cross-platform extravaganza, but obviously slightly different.
One. That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it existed.
Yeah, it has its own like Minecraft version of the Mushroom Kingdom, which you can go around and explore and look at all the nooks and crannies. It's like all replicas. Really cool.
Just wait for 2021, the year that Microsoft buys Nintendo.
Or Nintendo buys Microsoft, one of the two.
Yeah, well. I actually looked at the numbers recently. Nintendo has $10 billion in the bank, just sitting there. So, mind the assets and value of the company. $10 billion.
Microtendo. Yeah,
they're a very successful company for a reason.
God, could you imagine if they bought Bethesda? Because they could have. They had the money to pull it off.
Yeah. Okay, next up, but with regard to the class action lawsuit against Nintendo, the US law firm Chimicles, Schwartz, Kreiner and Donaldson Smith, we'll call them CSK&D, are asking for video footage of Joy-Con drift. This will be helpful to us in responding to Nintendo's argument about how this isn't a real problem or hasn't caused anyone any inconvenience. I have a Joy-Con disconnection drift at the moment. One of mine seems to be disconnecting when I'm not connected to the console. But the drift thing, yes, it is very real. We all know it's real. And, you know, it really, Nintendo, for all the money, for that $10 billion in the bank or whatever, Anton, you think they could sort this?
Yeah, it's, you know, it only gets more expensive the longer they don't fix it. That's if they lose, of course, which, to be honest, it's kind of undisputable. Like, you know, others kind of hardware failures in consoles, you could be like, yeah, you know, if it's in a warm room, it'll overheat or something like that. But everybody I know, really, like majority of people I know, have Joy-Con drift or had it at some point. It's kind of remarkable that they're trying to deny it. I've kind of thought by now they would have just went for like a bargain early deal or something. It seems bizarre.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought they already had a program in America that they would repair your Joy-Con drift for free. Did they not already acknowledge this somewhere? I feel that this was a thing like a year and a half ago or two.
It does ring a bell.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, because I remember we were all complaining that it was just in America because they just had a lawsuit in America.
Yeah, bring it out here because I have freaking control of Joy-Con drift and it's annoying. Just.
Yeah. Yeah, just fix it, Nintendo. It's not. Not asking a lot, you know, we've paid for them, so fix them. Next up, fashion company Black Milk. They have an Animal Crossing collection in the works, another Animal Crossing crossover. Anton, you're an Animal Crossing player. Anything you want to add to that other than bring it on?
Yeah, you know, they're just doing the Mario collection, which has been very well regarded. And, you know, I think, to be honest, combining Animal Crossing with their kind of design, which is very urban outfitters, very modern, contemporary, pretty green-esque. It looks really good, and I think it'll be quite popular amongst a trendy group of Instagram influencers, I could see.
Yes.
So this is going to differ from the sort of the Asda, Tesco own brand t-shirts that we've got Mario stuck in front of them, right?
Yeah, a little bit different, but we can get you some dungarees, Al, if you want.
A little bit more expensive.
I reckon I could pull off dungarees.
I think you could, actually. I think you could.
Go for it.
Next up, PDP have unveiled the Little Wireless. It's a new super portable Switch gamepad with 40 hours battery life and motion control. I was actually looking at this today and thinking, that's really cool. I really like it. The fact that it's wireless and it's small and it's got a big battery life, that to me is quite appealing. And I do like the look of it. I quite like the design. It looks comfortable enough.
It looks SNESy, doesn't it? It looks like it's been modelled on a SNES controller.
Completely. It's a little expensive for me. $49.99. It's a bit pricey.
Compare with the Pro, though, or even a Joy-Con, to be honest. If you buy two Joy-Cons, that's still 60 quid.
Yeah, and it has got the little Switch logo on it, which I like. No, it doesn't feel
like... Well, it's officially licensed. That's why Nintendo are going to give it its tick.
Okay, well, okay. So $49.99. Okay, with the official tick, then perhaps I'm a bit more inclined. Anton, what about you? Do you see an appeal in this one?
You know, I think it looks like a fairly solid and all-round reliable controller. I theorize that it's possibly very much on par with the 8-bit Dual offerings, where they have those kind of SNES-style controllers, but you're maybe just paying for that, let's say, an extra £15 or whatever it would be towards getting that official Nintendo certification, which in that case, I would, you know, I've only got wonderful things to say about 8-bit Dual.
Me too.
They've done so much good stuff, so I'm hesitant to stray from the trusted hand of them.
Yeah, and I've got I think you've got the Sega version, haven't you? Of the
indeed.
Yeah, I've got the SNES version, and it's very good. It connects well. It's easy, great for platforming as well. It's really good. But look out for it. It does look good. I do like the look of this one, even though it is very 8-bit dough, and maybe you are just paying for that extra logo. But I do like the look of it. Next up, there was an event this week. It's from Cubite, and they did their Cubite Connect 2020. Now, they're a Brazilian studio. They announced an unbelievable 15 games. Now, I'm going to read through the games. I'm going to talk about the standouts, because you might think to yourself, okay, they're going to be little kind of throwaway games, 15 games, you know, 15 in one type collection. No, a real kind of range of games, and they pretty much ticked off almost every genre. So I'm going to fly through these, and I'm going to get you to pick the ones that you spotted, because there's a few in here, I've got to say, they look really interesting. So, first of all, we had Project Colonies, Mars 2120, a 2.5D side-scrolling action-adventure with modern-ish graphics. 171, a GTA-style open-world action-adventure game set in the suburbs of a fictitious Brazilian city. Breakers Collection, a 2 Neo Geo fighting game collection. War Dogs Red Return, a 2.5D beat-em-up where you play as humanoid dogs. HDR Plus Slot Car Simulation, Skeletric Simulator with a track editor. 99 Vidas Definitive Edition, 16-bit beat-em-up. You'll have possibly seen that game before as well. Tinker Racers, a toy car survival racing game with a top-down perspective. Micro Machines. The Crown Stones Mira, a dark fantasy Metroidvania game focused on action combat featuring plenty of gore. Super Hiking League, 8-bit competitive climbing game. Rift Adventure, a half-platformer, half-village builder. The player chooses to pay or evade taxes, and his decision to do will completely change the city. Knight's Retreat, that's with a K, a chess game with no chess. John the Zombie, a slapstick zombie game reminiscent of Goat Simulator. Hoarding Simulator, steal and hoard everything. It's my life, apart from stealing. Flatland Volume 2, a simple and fast-paced platformer. Savage Halloween, a NES-style platformer with a mix of gunplay and platforming. Red Ronin, nothing to do with Keating, a turn-based dash and slash game. And Spooky Chase, a simple platformer. Okay, my overall impression, I'll tell you the games that stuck out for me, first of all, Al, but my overall impression, the standard was really, really good. There was some really top-looking games, like really in their genre and in their style, there was some really interesting stuff. It all looked quality. 171, actually, having looked a bit more into it, actually looks like a pretty decent GTA-style clone. And let's face it, there aren't that many GTA-style clone games on the Switch. We've got Saints Row, but this is very different. So that looked good. I like some of the other things, like Super Hiking League looked fun. John the Zombie looked stupid, and Goat Simulator-y, which I have and is just stupid and fun for a little bit of time. I liked the taxes game as well, Rift Adventure, where you pay or evade taxes. The Tinker Racers looks like Micro Machines, which is cool. I'm up for that. Yeah, and even the NES style one, Savage Halloween, it just looks like a NES game. So really, really good for me overall, and surprising. Not a publisher or a studio that I was really, you know, hugely on my radar, Al.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a way to make a name for yourself. If I was like you, I hadn't really heard of them before, but wow. There's that list had literally something made from sort of the top level design team, the seniors, all the way down to the game that was made by the sort of the work experience junior there, and it kind of shows, but in a really good way. That is not a negative. That is a big positive. And I'm with you. I think that 171 looks awesome. I mean, I love GTA, and there's very, very few games that have come close to doing anything as well as a GTA has. There's been some really good ones, like, well, I won't bother naming it. It's 2 minutes. There have been quite a few good ones. This one looks visually a bit meh, But I reckon as a game, it's going to play amazingly. I think I really, really want to go give this a bash because it's seemingly taking all the boxes for me. Like you as well, the HDR slot cars look fun, but the Tinker Racers, oh yes. There was a game, I was desperately trying to remember what it was called. You and I used to play years and years and years ago on
Mashed.
PlayStation. We used to have parties. Mashed. It's basically a new version of Mashed.
I hope so. I hope so.
It is. So it's one of these concepts where you just got to try and be in the lead when the camera sort of zooms in and gets closer and closer and closer and you want to be the car at the front.
Which is...
It's not about crossing the finish line. First, there isn't a finish line. You go round and round and round.
It's similar to Micro Machines in the 90s, but Mashed took it to the next level. We haven't had one as good as that since. I mean, there's tabletop racing and things like that on the Switch, but they're not the same. This looks much more of that ilk.
Yeah, desperate to play that. And I've got to say, John the Zombie, as much as I don't do zombies, I really, really like the look of this game. That looks hilarious. Just basically be a zombie crashed around to destroy everything. I'm on board for that. That sounds brilliant. And Hoarding Simulators, I'm intrigued. I'll give it a look. Stealing stuff? Sure. Why not? I'm up for that. What about you, Anton? What were your takeaways?
Yeah, overall, really well. From what I can gather, because I was really puzzled how the Qubit just came out of nowhere with so many games and with such a variety. So from what I can really gather, some of the games are from PC, some of them are from the PS4, because Brazil, as we've mentioned on former podcasts, recently got the Switch for the first time at the beginning of the year. But outside of that, the only other consoles they've had was a PS4, which costs in pounds probably over £1,000, and the Master System Game Gear and Mega Drive. So this to me just looks like a game industry that's basically just been bottled up and is ready to explode, and I'm really excited to see what else they can do. And running through again 171 looks really interesting to have a game so focused and kind of immersed in a kind of a very unique place and setting, obviously with experience of that environment. And you know, I don't think it'll be a Grand Theft Auto 5 game, but it could be a Grand Theft Auto, you know, San Andreas 4 style game. Like, and that's not to say a bad thing. The Crownstone Mariah, with the basically when you do your kind of RPG-esque quest, going out there slaying enemies and all that, it's kind of like the visual manifestation of your, you know, tax evasion, let's say. So, you know, the harder, more risky financial moves you're doing is kind of replicated in the gameplay. We have Red Ronin, which is kind of like, you know, those old games where you move blocks, but they just slam across the level. It's like that, but also combat that's super fun. And yeah, just overall, I think, especially when you get in those mid-tier games, they look surprisingly solid indies. Excited to see what they do next.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally in agreement with that. I was very surprised at the quality. And yeah, well done to them for coming out and supporting what they do on the Switch. And well done for Nintendo for, you know, vice versa, getting them on the Switch. So it's time for Indie Corner, and this week Leona is reviewing a game that I've had my eye on for a long time. It's very well reviewed, but does it stand up when Leona takes it on? It's Return of the Obra Dinn.
This week I played Return of the Obra Dinn, a game made by Lucas Pope, who made Papers, Please, and described as an insurance adventure with minimal colour. That's a pretty good description, but it doesn't tell you just how entrancing this game is. At its heart, it's a detective game, but it's unlike any other you're likely to experience. You play as an insurance investigator, boarding the Obra Dinn to figure out what happened and why a ship that set off in 1803 with 60 people aboard was found deserted. You're armed with a book that breaks down the events of the ship's journey, each page revealed as you discover more of the tale, and a stopwatch that allows you to experience the last few seconds of someone's life. When you click your stopwatch over a sun-bleached skeleton on the deck, the screen cuts to black, or brown more accurately, and you hear the audio from the last few seconds. You're then transported into a beautiful 3D tableau frozen at the exact second of death, which you can then walk around in, discover more bodies, and investigate the scene. You have a list of names, countries of origin, and status, from captain to midshipman to passenger, and you must figure out each person's identity and how they died. Now, I love detective games, and if there's a mystery, it will be getting solved. So often, though, I find detective games just hand you the answers. You're totally passive in the investigation, but Return of the Obra Dinn doesn't hold your hand. It might as well be making you walk the plank instead. They even warn you at the beginning. There are some characters who you won't be given given enough information to just figure out. You have to really search and even sometimes use a process of elimination to find everyone. For some, you might overhear someone referred to by name and use some other clues to figure out who is being talked about, but I quite often find myself leaning into my speaker to try and discern the exact accent I was hearing to help me figure someone out. You use everything from job title and location to looking deeply into how they interact in these freeze frames. Does this guy seem to be in charge of this other guy? If he might be one of four options for the gunner, is this guy the gunner's mate? All I'll say is I'm really glad I watched Pirates of the Caribbean so many times as a kid that I know what the responsibilities of a bosun happen to be. This all makes the game so much fun. You really feel satisfied when you find out you were correct after tracing all these lines to figure things out. It definitely helps that the narrative is also really, really interesting, and that you don't find it out linearly. You're pretty much putting that together in your head too. Return of the Obra Dinn looks fantastic. It's presented in that dithered Wombat style from back in the day, and everything is monochromatic. But the way the art style is used really adds so much to the gorgeous tableaus you encounter. All of these elements come together to create a truly enchanting experience. I think this game is perfect to play alone or on the sofa with some others debating who's who and how they kick the bucket. This might be my favourite game that I've reviewed for you guys so far, which I hope tells you just how much I would recommend you try it out and take a trip on the Obra Dinn yourself.
Well, it sounds like all the millions of awards, Al, that it's won seems to be completely justified.
Well, it does, but Leona has terrified me and I'm never going to play this game ever again. One, I don't like games that don't lead you by the hand because I'm not smart enough to play them. And two, don't discover from being colourblind, I am entirely accent blind. And when Leona says that she was listening to people's accents, that put the fear of God in me. I can literally speak to someone from, like, England and Australia and probably Japan and not notice they have any different accents. They just all sound the same to me. I'm pretty sure this is a genuine condition. I'm accent blind. So I think I might give this a miss, but it does sound really, really good.
Yeah, I'm kind of with yourself, Alistair. I've never wanted to play a game more and less at the same time. You know, I am the biggest baby when it comes to actually knowing how to play video games, so the not being led by the hand thing, I don't think that's good for me, but it does look like a great game, and I love the art style, so I'm glad to see there's some meat on the bone. It isn't all just visual flair.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really like the visual style. It scares me somewhat that it doesn't kind of help you a bit more than it does, but hey, that's what Google's for, right?
This is true, but if you're resorting to Google, you're kind of cheating. Don't bother.
That's fine. I'm okay with that. You know, if you enjoy the game, that's fine. You cheat all you like, as long as you're enjoying the game. But yeah, no, it does look good, especially for this kind of game. You probably don't want to cheat for this kind of game, to be perfectly honest. But yeah, Return of the Obra Dinn, go and get it if it's, you know, if that review has done enough, if you're the kind of player that doesn't need handheld like the three of us. You know, held hands on the handheld, but yeah, go check it out. It's out on the Switch already. So, Return of the Obra Dinn. All right, then it is time. Before we move on to the quiz this week, which I'm excited about as always, it's time for this week's rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but
okay. First of all, the first rumour I have here, I think I can probably confirm that this is going to happen, because Korea's Game Rating and Admin Committee have given an age rating for Need for Speed Hot Pursuit Remastered. That's I'm going to throw it out there and say that it's going to happen. And then the official Need for Swedes. it's like a real health conscious game. Like, we really need some Swedes in here, or perhaps they just love ABBA. Need for Speed Twitter teases an announcement, and the Need for Speed website adds a countdown to announcement 5th of October. Well, guess what? We're here. And the announcement has happened. And yeah, that's what happens when we record a day later than we were planning to. We've done the rumours. That's it. Anyone got any rumours? Anyone got anything to add to that? Or are we good?
We's good, buddy. We's good.
Yeah. And Anton?
You know, I don't think they're going to, you know, get that game out with the rest of them. I don't know what they're going to do. They might get out eventually. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna predict they will. I'm just throwing it out there. See earlier in the podcast. Okay, it is time for this week's...
Before we get into the quiz, I just want to interrupt. I don't think you guys covered this last week, but batteries. Did you talk about batteries last week? Or did that happen this week?
What are you talking about?
You know, so last week's a blur.
I think came out. I'm going to say it might have been Bloomberg. It was one of the news outlets anyway. Sort of broke, in inverted commas, the news that Nintendo has officially said, if you don't charge your Switch at least every 6 months, yes, then they can basically break it and you can never use it again because the battery swells up and goes poof, and it won't take a charge. I don't think it's a good problem that any of us are ever going to suffer from because we play our Switch far too often. And I imagine everyone listening to this podcast probably plays their Switches far too often for it to be a problem. But it's a bit of an admission because I can't think of any other consoles ever come out and said, yeah, if you don't charge our device up for 6 months, then you won't be able to play it ever again. And it's not even got a user replaceable battery. I mean, you need to send it off to Nintendo, get them to change the battery in it. It's quite a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's kind of not been that big in the media. I'm surprised there's not been more of a furore about it.
That is startling. I hadn't heard that news before, but, you know, not even from a gaming perspective, from a tech perspective. Like, you can get like a 10-year-old iPad now. Well, maybe a 9-year-old iPad 2. Leave it in a drawer for 2 years and it'll still have 40% charge when you pick it up. And that's like still, by Switch standards, incredibly thin in a metal box. And this is what the Switch is doing?
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, I'm thinking about my other half's Switch and the reality is she doesn't play it that often. I mean, she will and then she won't for a long time. So that could easily be a 6 month period. I don't think it is, but it could be. And so I think there will
doesn't necessarily have to be turned on, just make sure it's charged up.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like sometimes you just you don't think about that if you're not playing it. If you're not using it, you don't always think about, oh, I better go and charge the Switch I'm not playing. It's kind of counterintuitive. But yeah, as you say, I think that's quite a big admission, you know, certainly when you word it like that. And I think I'm surprised there hasn't been more on it. Maybe we should we'll try and do some investigation and chat a bit more next week about that if we can find anything out about anyone's experiences, because I think, you know, it does seem like a big deal. And as you say, Al, nobody's really talking about it. So let's maybe see what we can find out. Have a look around and see what's what. Okay, this time it is time to move on to this week's quiz.
I have so many questions.
I've no idea what the score is, by the way. I'm going to say it's... do we remember? Or am I going
to
make...
7 quintillion points to Anton, I think.
I think we're tied.
8.5 to me.
I think it was pretty close. I think Al was winning.
Yeah.
No.
Because I've lost two times in a row, I think, now.
Yeah, so I think it's 13-12 to Al.
I'm not going
to
argue. Sure, I was winning. Yeah, go
14-13, we'll say. 14-13, because it must be an even number for Al. Okay, are we ready for this week's first game?
Do
indeed.
Okay. Hit me.
This is a platform game for the N64 released by Titus Interactive in the year 2000.
Titus, that's ringing a bell. Platformer.
Bubsy 3D?
No.
No, can't think.
The game is loosely based on a band and a film. Due to major delays, it was released 2 years after the film of the same name, but in the year the film was set. It's
what's it called? Spinal Tap?
No, it's like some sort of cryptic, you know, sort of clue thing here, you know? It was released 2 years after the film of the same name, but in the year the film was set. What am I? That's what it was like. What are they called again?
Green Day. Let's go for that.
Okay, I'll give you this next one again. I'll give you one more and then I'll give you one that you will probably get it. The game was met with mixed to negative reception. Game rankings give it a score of 50%. Metacritic, you can tell I'm tired, 32 out of 100. Nintendo Power gave it 6.8 out of 10 in the August 2000 issue. In the game, you need to get the band together for the Battle of the Bands, which is less than 2 days. After saving the guitarist, you then defeat the warden. Then you progress through to Chicago in hopes of finding two other members of the band.
Bill,
you go out on the rooftops.
Bill and Ted's Blues Excellent Brothers. Adventure?
I'm going to give it to Al. It's Blues Brothers 2000.
Oh!
Well,
weirdly,
done.
Congrats. You know what I was listening to when I was making breakfast this morning? The Blues Brothers soundtrack.
Really?
Genuinely.
How weird. Well, there you are. It must have been some sort of future telling moment for you. Goodness me, Al. You can't be getting another win and getting 3 points ahead
of
Anton.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to get the next one. It's fine. Anton will steal it. It's all good.
You know, we'll find out.
Right.
I just realised I'm leaning forward. I've been sitting back most of the podcast. Now it's a quiz. I'm leaning forward.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I gotta win. Okay, this is a 2017 adventure game developed by Giant Sparrow and published by Annapurna Interactive.
Could you repeat that, please? Sorry.
This game is a 2017 adventure game developed by Giant Sparrow and published by Annapurna Interactive.
Lone Echo.
No, released on Windows, PS4, Xbox One, and then Nintendo Switch in 2019.
Action adventure game.
I have this game.
Action adventure is action.
I said it was an adventure game.
Oh, sorry, adventure.
I'll give you a bit more information this time. It's a first-person exploration game. The player explores a house and surrounding wilderness, footpaths and secret crawl space. You're guided through the house with voice narration, words visually displayed to the player as part of the scene to direct the player's attention.
Gone Home?
Nope.
Whatever it is, I've clearly not played it. I have no idea. What's that with the fire one?
Firewatch. I see where you're coming from, but it's not right. Okay, this game, in the game, the main character returns to her family's home off the coast and of the state of Washington and learns about her relatives and their deaths by visiting their bedrooms, sealed off and treated as shrines to their memory.
What Remains of Edith Finch?
I'm going to give you it. It's Edith Finch, but I'm going to give you the point. Oh. So What Remains of Edith Finch? It's 1-1. Well done.
Intense going into the finale. Anybody's victor.
1-1. Right. Okay.
This is my drum roll.
Are you ready for the game? You're going to tell me which year? So 1-1. Who am I going to...
You know what we should do? We should give him a year and then he should give us the game name afterwards.
Okay. I mean, if you want to stay here for the next 3 hours, sure. No, I'm going to give you the game name and I'm going to let... who's winning? So I'm going to let Al go first because Al is winning overall. So Al, you're going first, okay?
Sure.
Since you're 14-13 up. This game is called Booby Kids.
Booby Kids. I mean, where do you even start with that? Just genuinely Booby Kids.
Booby Kids.
I mean, this is going to be a shot in the dark, isn't it? There's literally no way you can guess or with any kind of certainty. And Booby Kids, I'll go... Is that old? Is that new? It feels like it could be new, weirdly, but I'm going to go against my gut and I'm going to say 1995.
Okay, Anton?
I'm going to go 94.
All right. Well done, Anton. 1987 this was released. Booby Kids was actually for the Nintendo. It was a conversion of an arcade game called Kid No Whore Whore Daisakusen, which I'm sure is not what it sounded like and is definitely a Japanese translation. Here for a bonus point, since you've got... let me tell you about the game. It's, you're played from an overhead perspective. You take on the role of one of the booby kids, named for their ability to instantly dig booby traps in front of where they stand.
Oh, damn it! I came across this game when I was...
I think we've mentioned this on the podcast because I remember this exact description.
Yeah, it does ring a bell. It does ring a bell. So, hey, you still didn't remember it. So, but here's for a bonus point. Can you tell me what console the game Booby Boys was released for?
The Game Boy?
Well done, it was. It was the Game Boy. Yeah, in 1993. Well done on that one. Yeah, Booby Kids, 1987 on the NES. Can I just tell you, just thinking about Japanese, can I tell you something really funny? That happened to me, and this I'm going to tell on the podcast because it's quite funny before we finish up. So if you've done the new update for Apple, there's a new Translate app where you can speak and it translates what you're saying. I know two Japanese phrases, but the first one I thought I'd made up. So I just thought it was a made up phrase. So my Japanese friend who obviously lives in Tokyo, I recorded it on my Translate, and what it told me I was saying was hilarious. So I sent it, I recorded it on my voice on Facebook Messenger and sent it to my friend in Japan and said, can you just tell me what I'm saying? And would this work if I walked into a meeting and said this? And what I was saying was, hello, I will kill you all. And I made up, like, in my head, I don't learn that. I just, like, in my head had this Japanese phrase. But apparently what I'm saying is, I will kill you all. And sometimes it turns out to be more like, I would like to kill everyone, hello. So it's really, really aggressive. So she said...
And, well, I mean, you are the most aggressive man I know, to be fair. I mean, it's, you come across so aggressively. I'm sure everyone can tell.
Well, the thing is, I better not ever say it because get me into a lot of trouble. But there you go. So, yeah, look, check out the new Translate app. It's actually really good. It's very clever.
Yeah, you know, I went all out into it and it said hello, so I was impressed. I was sold. I'm
very impressed, Anton. Look at that. I mean, you've got your au revoir every week. One day you know what that means.
It can translate two of my other words. But legit, it's actually a really handy app. I'm quite chuffed that it's been done so well.
Yeah, it's been done well. Quick reminder. Sorry, Al, what were you going to say?
I have not tried it. I need to give it a bash.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Just a quick reminder, if you want to find out how you can support us even more, you can become one of our Patreon supporters. All the details at nsukp.co.uk/support-us. Anton, what else have we missed?
We have Twitter and Facebook at NSUK Podcasts, where we'll keep you up to date with everything that's going on. And yeah, generally just the website covers that. You can also send us/, most importantly, Alistair, an email at podcast@nsukp.co.uk. Or Ravens. What else did we used to accept? Ravens, Telegrams?
Ravens, Pigeons, Smoke Signals, Telegraph, and Postal Orders, if you want to send us some money.
Yeah, you can do that for sure. You can send us to our PO Box address, which you'd have to email Al because we don't have one currently. So you could just email Al.
If you want to send us money, I'll set up a PO Box.
Yeah, for sure. That is it this week. Once again, thank you so much for listening and downloading. Really appreciate it. And until next week, goodbye.
Cheerio.
Au revoir.